the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to this online service at St. Stephen's United Church in Qualicum Beach. Wherever you're joining us from, we are delighted that you are here. We do love to hear where you are. So if you have a moment following the service, please leave us a comment or drop us a line. Today, being the first Sunday of the month, Diane will be presiding over the sacrament of Holy Communion later on in the service and inviting those who love Jesus to his table. If you haven't already, please pause this recording to go and prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and wine or juice so that you can participate without interruption later in the service. Would you join me in the opening prayer today? Jesus, we think we know who you are. Teach us how small our view of God really is. We think we know everything there is to know about you. Help us remember the depth of your love for us that took you to the cross. We doubt your motives. Show us again the wonders of all creation and how you made us to live in harmony with it all. And we question your mission, for we cannot fathom such a selfless God. Prepare us for the work you have for each of us, joining in the building of your kingdom. Holy One, you alone are worthy of all honour, praise, and glory, so we come to worship you with our eyes, ears, and minds wide open. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen. We hear in the first letter of John, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Let each of us light the candle we have for worship, for where there is the light of Jesus, there can be no darkness." I invite you now to pray the prayer of confession with me. Merciful God, forgive us when we are paralyzed by confusion and doubt. Strengthen our faith that we may not only believe, but may be filled with the power to help and heal. When others reject or refuse our ministry, help us to be forgiving and grace-filled. Grant us the courage to accept those things that cannot be changed, that we may be freed from anger and resentment. Forgive us when our disappointment clouds our wisdom and confuses our actions. Guide us in your way, that we may be filled with the joy of ministry in your name. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. God's grace is sufficient for all of our needs and covers all of our sin. God's power is made perfect in our weakness as Christ redeems our lives and reconciles us fully to God. This is the good news we have because of Jesus. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. As you can see, This is a communion Sunday, and we will be gathering at the table a little later in the service. So as we do on communion Sundays, would you join me in saying together one of the creeds of our church? This month we are saying the United Church of Canada's new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
All right. Good morning. This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. In which Jesus tells of being a prophet without honor. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions: "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave, as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Three weeks ago, I and two of our regional representatives from this congregation had the opportunity to participate in the Pacific Mountain Region Annual General Meeting, which is the gathering that happens annually for United Churches throughout most of BC and the Yukon. Yes, our meeting was a virtual one again this year for obvious reasons, but that wasn't all bad. There are challenges of gathering a group that large, holding that large a meeting online, as you might expect, but there are also some advantages that come with doing it that way. And one of them is the ability to bring people to be with us from much further afield than we would be able to do if we had to fly them all into BC. This year, we were fortunate to have guests with us from Colorado and from Atlanta, and of course, some people from our head office in Toronto. One of those people was our brand new General Secretary, Reverend Michael Blair. Michael took over that role earlier this year. He's only been at it for a few months. And his job is to work alongside our moderator as together they lead and direct and generally manage and coordinate the work of this denomination across the country. Michael laughingly shared that many of his friends have wondered at the wisdom of him taking on this job at this time when the church is so obviously facing so many challenges and seems, by all accounts, to be in decline. he explained that while he understands their confusion, he has a bit of a different perspective. Quite simply, he refuses to believe that that is the whole story. He said, you know, if all you see is decline, then you begin to believe that that is all there is to see. But Michael believes firmly that God isn't done with the church yet, and that God's not done with this 96-year-old denomination yet either. And he's finding that as he focuses on believing that, he's seeing evidence that it is actually true. He's seeing signs of God doing some incredible things in, amongst, and through us. And he's challenging us to do the same. You know, I really think that one of the signs that God isn't done with us yet is the fact that God has called Michael to lead us in this time, in this way. Doesn't it sound almost biblical to you? God calls a man with deep faith and graces him with the ability to see the spirits moving amongst us, and then uses him to call and challenge us to learn to see the same. You know, our reading for today is a powerful illustration of this very dynamic. Jesus found himself in his hometown of Nazareth, and fairly quickly he realized that as the people there were having a hard time thinking of him as anything other than Mary's boy. He had been developing quite a reputation through his healing and teaching ministry as he traveled around the area, but once he got to Nazareth, the reputation kind of didn't seem to matter anymore. All they could see was Jesus, you know, Joseph's brother. Mary's eldest boy, the carpenter, you know. Well, apparently because they saw him in that way, they couldn't believe that there was anything more to see in him. And so Jesus' opportunities to share his gifts and ministry amongst these people he knew so well were severely curtailed. Our reading says simply that he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. So he moved on to other villages where people's perceptions and assumptions about him didn't seem to get in the way like they had in Nazareth. Well, the second part of our reading describes Jesus sending his disciples out in pairs to do ministry themselves. And maybe because of the experience he'd had in Nazareth, as he sent them out, he urged them not to get discouraged if people didn't welcome him or couldn't see that God was actually working through what they were doing. He told them if that happened to do what he had done, to move on, to find people who would be more receptive to their message and the life they had to share. Well, if we needed to be convinced of how important Michael Blair's message is to us, this reading should do it. Those people in Nazareth were stuck in seeing is believing mode. They could only see Jesus, the carpenter's boy. And so for them, that was all there really was to see or to believe. They couldn't see Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, gifted teacher and healer, calling and leading them to life. Perhaps if they'd been able to see that, they might have been able to receive all that he wanted to bring to them. But as our reading says, Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. They couldn't, or perhaps wouldn't, believe. And so they weren't able to see anything more than what they assumed they already knew to be true about him. Now, we could have an interesting conversation about whether their unbelief actually prevented Jesus from performing miracles, or if it was simply that he decided not to because of it. I'm honestly not sure which is the case or if either of those is actually the case. And I'm also not convinced that heading off down that road will lead us to the life I am certain God wants to bring us through this story. Suffice it to say that Jesus wasn't able to bring much life to his hometown friends and neighbors, who just couldn't get their heads around the possibility that there was anything more to him than what they thought they knew. And so he did move on to other towns where people were more receptive. Michael Blair was not the only speaker at our conference to encourage us in this way. One of our keynote speakers, Reverend Cameron Trimble, brought a similar message, and if anything, hers was even stronger. She urged us to consider not only that our assumptions can skew what we're able to see, but also to be aware that that skewing can somehow be dangerous for us as we try to faithfully follow Jesus. I think she's right, especially now. As we emerge from this global pandemic and we begin to explore what life is going to look like post-pandemic, we need to be aware of how our assumptions and our biases and our perceptions can affect what we are able to see and even more what we aren't. The theme for that regional general meeting was abundance and hope. Each person who had been invited to speak had been asked to talk about where they have seen signs of abundance and hope in this last year, and most of them did confess that it was a difficult assignment, but they all said that in the end they found it incredibly encouraging and valuable. As they reflected, they each discovered that there have been gifts over this past year, and they shared them with us, and signs of God's Spirit working amongst us, refining us and deepening our faith, helping us to believe that despite appearances, God's mission in and through His church continues. As we heard them tell these stories of these gifts, I think we all found ourselves finding it a little easier to believe. It was a bit contagious. It was easier to start to recognize signs of abundance and hope ourselves. It was a wonderful, wonderful exercise. So I am deeply grateful for Michael's challenge to us. I think it's an incredibly faithful challenge that has the potential really to lead us to new life, the new life God has for us. And it's a challenge that I don't have much difficulty imagining that Jesus might be smiling about right now. So for those of you who are part of the St. Stephen's Community of Faith, whether that is our in-person community here in Qualicum Beach, or our online community who we are coming to know through the wonders of the internet, I need to warn you all that I intend to accept Michael's challenge. I'm going to try very hard to encourage us to be a community of Jesus people who do believe. And in our believing, get to see that God truly isn't done with us yet. Amen.
Good morning, friends. Wow, has it been hot? And I hope you're finding a way to stay cool. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bring the temperatures down so that we can be able to live comfortably. And we thank you for your presence in our lives. We come to you with a welcome change in our lives these past weeks as the COVID numbers have come way down. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for keeping us protected, as Psalm 91 says, under the feathers of your wings. During these most difficult times, we are protected. We are so thankful we can call on you. We especially lift all the families involved in the condominium falling down at Florida, all those losses. Oh, Lord, give those families peace and comfort, we pray. I'd like to ask prayers, especially for our caregivers taking care of loved ones and how hard it has been for some. We just had a meeting by Zoom with Isabel McKenzie, senior advocate, and I was so glad she was there to help us. And just letting you all know that at any time you can call Oceanside Health Center and say, I need to talk to someone, I'm overwhelmed, and they will transfer you to a registered counselor free of charge within moments. I think there's quite a few that don't know that, so that's what we were finding. So that service is there for us. These have been trying times for many of us, family relationships strained, and it has been good to think of being reunited once again with our family members as the COVID is lifted. Thank you, Lord. And I especially also want to lift up, it's come across my vision here, and that Open Door Ministries and also Voice of Martyrs for the persecuted Christians around the world being held in detention and prison camps, for bringing the gospel, being a Christian, bringing Bibles to other countries. Oh Lord, protect them, free them, we pray. And Lord, we pray for our government leaders, local, provincial, and federally, to take good care of us, supplying all our needs, as there are many needs for homeless caregivers having listening ears to serve and protect us. Thank you, our Abba Father, as we bring the Shalom blessing to all of you of peace, tranquility, safety, well-being, welfare, health, contentment, success, comfort, wholeness, and integrity. Amen.
Dear friends, welcome to Jesus' table. We're delighted you're joining us here. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O God, our Creator, Almighty and Everlasting One. You created heaven with all its hosts, and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being, and you preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation, for the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you. We praise and bless you, O God. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in the expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together with him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you and for me. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you and for me, for the forgiveness of sins. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in the places where you are.
Sons of the earth, how beautiful.
Let's join together in saying our prayer after communion. Eternal God, we thank you that you have called your people from east and west and north and south to feast at the table of Jesus Christ. Keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. With gratitude to you who give so faithfully, and gratitude to God for making it possible for us to do this, will you join me now in praying and dedicating all of your gifts to God's use in this world? Loving God, we come to you in thanksgiving, knowing that all we are and all we have is a gift from you. We offer you ourselves today, including our gifts of time, talent, and possessions, as a true act of faith to reflect our love for you and for our neighbors. Help us to reach out to others through these gifts as you, God, have reached out to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is my last Sunday with you for a few weeks. We are entering holiday season for the staff here at St. Stephen's as we try to get a bit of a break before we come back and take on the work of gearing up for all that's going to come with this fall. So just so you know, Adele is going to take 2 weeks off, the middle 2 weeks in July. She will be off. If you need something, though, you can always call the church office. The office will be covered and phone calls will be received, and there will be people covering the work that we're not around to do. Fiona is going to take a couple weeks off after Adele gets back. She'll be off the last week of July and the first week of August. And I'm actually going to take the month of July off. So I won't be back with you until into August. But I assure you, you are being left in very good and very familiar hands. So I'm grateful for the people who are making it possible for us to get this break. And we trust that all will be well. And we'll see you when we get back. Speaking of seeing you when we get back, I just want to say how excited I am for the fall. We've been waiting to start to make these plans for a long time, and it is wonderful to have them underway now. And so I'm excited for the opportunities we're going to have to be able to be together again, to see you face to face is a treasure in our lives that we maybe haven't appreciated as much as we do now. And also, I'm excited to be able to expand the ways that we can be together online for those of you who have enjoyed this way of being part of church life and might like to explore it further. We're going to be working on developing more ways for you to be able to engage in our community of faith in this way. So it's going to be wonderful to be with those of you I get to be with in this building and in other ways. It's going to be wonderful to be able to be with those of you online in our online community. So the fall is bringing much for us to look forward to. And in the meantime, as we make our way through the summer, please stay well and stay cool. And we'll see you soon. And now as we go, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever you may go. May he lead you through the wilderness, protect you through the storms, and bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you, and bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. God bless everyone.
If you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only, we're all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you've got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord for his love never.